Blog Talk Radio.
NBA basketball fans, the College Ball Show is back, but we're talking NBA, of course, like we have ever since the college basketball season was done. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down everything that is the NBA free agency market. Technically speaking, as we learned last year with DeAndre Jordan, and prior years to that, it just wasn't a bigger name that had done that. But technically speaking, none of this is official until the 7th. But as we know, teams have been talking to players, teams have been signing guys. So obviously, a lot of this stuff, you know, is going to go through. And we're going to break it down from a variety of ways. Obviously, the major story happened yesterday. Big story with Kevin Durant deciding on moving beyond Oklahoma City and joining the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, there's a lot of opinions when it comes to that situation. We'll get into that. We'll get into what it means as well, just in general, for the league, for the team. Will they need, you know, 20 games to kind of get it figured out? I guess you could, you could also say, of course, you know, you have, you only have one ball. So obviously the way, you know, Durant is used to, you know, playing with a guy that will shoot a time or two. Also, Golden State is, you know, they're into spreading the ball. So I don't think it'll be, a major adjustment that we've seen when other teams have kind of collected some players, whereas at least they've already, most of them are on the same page. But that's where we're going to start, obviously. Big news. Some people thought he would stay. We're now hearing that basically that Russell Westbrook wasn't going to stay. And that was kind of the decision of, well, do I go through another year like this? Not necessarily team success, because they actually they overachieved, really, considering their expectations heading into the year and even heading into the playoffs, really. So that's something to look at. But also, do I want to go through another year of the media asking me what the hell am I going to do and this and that, and do you think he's going to stay? Do you not? You know, so I can understand that as well, not wanting to even go through that process. So we'll break down what that means to the lineup. And, of course, I mean, teams like the Knicks, the Spurs were a little active yesterday. There's been a lot of player movement. Dwight Howard, Al Horford. So we're just going to break this thing down in a variety of ways. Obviously, we got to start with Kevin Durant. But like I said, there is a lot of news. And by the way, you know, they're calling it the super team, you know, because that's basically what it feels like it is, a super team as of right now. But with the super team, that kind of took yesterday up. I mean, everybody was talking, you know, whether it's negatively, positively, this, that, the other. I'll tell you what, though. There is some news out there right now as we speak that last night, D. Wade, that is Dwayne Wade, was on a private jet. He got an offer from his Miami Heat squad that he's been with from day one. It's a very nice offer, obviously. And the one thing about D. Wade is endorsement money and other ventures that he's invested his money in, he makes plenty of money. A lot of these guys do. But I will say this. The last handful of years, and maybe two handfuls, right, he's taken less money. You know, the one thing that people don't remember about Bosch, LeBron, and Wade, all those guys, they all had to take $20, $30, $40 million less. And even still, D. Wade, hasn't got paid when it's come time to get paid per se, being that he's been a free agent a couple of times now. It's not like he just, you know, signed like a long 5-year deal or whatever. So there is plenty of talk. And one of the things is Kevin Love in that situation. And let's just start, because that is more than a full-on rumor. You know what I mean? That is actually, they are talking. Now, does it mean something will happen? No, not necessarily. But it would be interesting for Cleveland. And you know Cleveland, and this is something we'll get into a little deeper when we talk about Cleveland versus Golden State, which many people think it's pretty much an automatic rematch, barring major injury. Obviously, LeBron would have to be one of those. And for Golden State, they're so deep, they could probably handle one major one. But beyond that, they'd be in trouble. There's a lot of ways to look at that. Obviously, Cleveland's going to want to do something to, you know, follow up on that. The matchups do get a little strange, because now there is a new small lineup. You know, the small ball lineup with Durant, in my mind, will be even more effective as far as small ball. And it also, you know, forces LeBron to get on Durant instead of being able to switch on, or for large parts of the series, actually guard Draymond Green. And we saw the difference when Draymond Green was on Love or anybody else beyond LeBron. It was a different story. Obviously, if you've listened to the show, first of all, we really appreciate it. You know, we've been going fairly strong at it since the beginning of September, basically, or maybe late August, whichever, whenever the college football season started. And those just kind of picking it up of late. We do college football all the way to the national championship. Like I said, that'll start late August. Then we pick up with college basketball for the regular season, go all the way to the title game, and then we go NBA playoffs. We did a draft special, and now we're here in the free agency special. And for those who don't know, Marshall is a Golden State Warrior fan. Ever since I've known him, he has followed that club. I got a text. You know, I didn't even open my phone just yet as far as going in there and seeing, you know, what had come of another day of free agency. Although technically, like I said, none of this is really free agency, but the first is when it started officially, they started talking and all that. But, you know, clearly we may have one or two, you know, people there that kind of bail out of this and switch to their team or make a different decision. But a lot of these deals are finalized pretty much anyway. Marshall, I'm going to bring you in here. The first thing I saw coming out of sleep yesterday, woke up, saw the phone, and I knew exactly what had happened clearly. And I, for one, was a little – well, I shouldn't say a little. I was full-on surprised. But as a fan, right, as a fan, when you hear that news, you just got to be like, yes. You know, it just got to be a great feeling. Take us through the perspective coming right from a Dubs fan.
It was pretty crazy. I mean, I've been pretty spoiled for the last couple of years. I mean, I guess it's been quite a while. I mean, I've watched this team play when they sucked, and now they've become good through drafting, and now they made a big deal, well, obviously, with Durant coming over. So, overall, like, through this past week, I was feeling probably like 40%. Everything I'd heard made it seem like the Warriors were kind of the second place horse. If it wasn't going to be the Oklahoma City in a re-sign, he was going to probably go to the Dubs, or at least had a good chance. The Clippers thing didn't quite make sense, because for him to go to the Clippers, they would have had to either get rid of Blake, or they would not have been able to offer him max money. Clearly, Durant deserves a nice paycheck. And you know, say what you want about the money these guys are making nowadays. When you're looking at an option, you can consider taking a lesser pay for maybe putting yourself on a better team. But you should probably want to try and, you know, take advantage of basically the stock market right now. People are making banks. So, you know, the Clippers didn't really seem to make sense. The Heat, aside from, you know, the Pat Riley factor of being, you know, kind of a god when it comes to these kind of things, I wasn't too scared about. The Boston hype, I thought, was maybe kind of just East Coast media. I mean, I know they had, like, Brady and all the Celtics recruiting him, and they'd signed Horford, and apparently him and Horford are buddies. But I felt pretty much Chris was going to be either Oklahoma City keeping him for a year or more, or the Warriors. And a friend of mine on Twitter seemed to have a pretty knowledgeable kind of guess, and he normally doesn't spout out any BS to me unless he feels it's somewhat true. Not that he's inside connected, but he's like, it seems like all the NBA inside people seem to think he's going to the Warriors. I know Jerry West made a phone call, which I heard kind of helped seal the deal, or at least didn't hurt. I guess Draymond Green had basically been making a pitch at him the entire season to come join the squad.
Which would be illegal, but we'll get into that later.
Well, I mean, if you're an NBA player saying, dude, we'd like to have you, I mean, I guess I don't know what the technicalities are, but I guess Draymond was
doing
his part.
That is the technicality. When someone's under contract, you can't talk to them about their future.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I guess Draymond was doing his best as a Dubs
person. Don't get your own guy in trouble here, Marshall.
there was some former post about it, so I guess Draymond was doing what he could. So overall, I was watching, with it being the 4th of July, I always love to watch the Nationals again because they always play at 10 a.m. In D.C. So I was having a beer, watching baseball in the morning, and I knew that the grand deal was going to come down, and I didn't assume it'd be at the end of the night. I'm like, dude, really? I hope you don't make it wait until like 7 p.m. Like, okay, guys, you've been on your hands and needles all day. All right, now I'm going to tell you. So ESPN was covering some random-ass baseball thing, and it's breaking news. I'm like, oh, boy. And then it just shows Durant to the Doves, and I was just like, wow. Okay, like, game on. Like, let's go. That kind of sad bitterness feeling I'd experienced as obviously them losing to the Cavaliers in the tremendous NBA Finals was, all right, well, let's regroup and get this thing to work, and we can easily be back in the finals again or go into possibly multiple and see how it plays out. So I was ecstatic as a Warriors fan. I mean, I'd heard a couple years ago that this was an option. I mean, whether it was Zach Lowe or some people, that this isn't groundbreaking news. I mean, obviously coming down to the end, Chris, we weren't quite sure where he was going to go. But the idea and the seed had been planted. I mean, God, I remember reading articles about this like last year. They're like, well, if they get rid of Barnes and then Bogut and Iggy or something, like, they can make this happen. So the seed had been there. And whatever the Warriors did for their pitch, they made it work out well. I think from what ESPN reported, out of all the teams Durant met with, the Warriors had the shortest interview time. I remember seeing an article about how the Clippers wooed him, like, with a four-hour interview. And the Thursday after Durant met with Oklahoma City, one of Durant's buddy has told some ESPN guy, he's like, oh, 95 or 90% is coming to join back the Thunder. You know, so you're hearing all sorts of random crap. It's like Warriors, I met Durant for an hour. That's it. Now Durant meeting the Clippers. So I guess whatever they said was pretty quick and to the point. From a Warriors standpoint, you now have, okay, well, we got Steph, Clay, and Iggy, and Draymond, and we have a great young coach and a team philosophy. And not nearly the drama you'd have with the Clippers, per se. Those guys seem to get along more so better than some other teams. So whatever the pitch was, they made it point, quick to the point. I'm ecstatic. This is going to be an incredibly fun team to watch. I mean, the Warriors have kind of always been one of the fan favorites, or if you're a random NBA guy, you're like, well, I don't like watching pro basketball. I enjoy watching college. Well, the Warriors kind of have that up-and-down mentality of shooting threes and not – so much running just a simple half-court offense. It's a little more up and down. And now you add an incredibly talented player to that dynamic. It's awesome. I don't think it's going to be necessarily the going for the record thing, because people are saying, well, how many wins are they going to get and all that? I think that the mindset of that team will be to have a good year but focus more on the title, because obviously they had a 73-1 team and didn't win it. So I don't think – I'm not really concerned about going for – another record-breaking year. I think you had fun in that, but I think resting Steph who appeared fatigued down the stretch will be more important this year. But overall, man, I'm just jacked. Durant's coming to the Dubs. We're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best. Now we added a top five player. This is awesome. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I'm very curious to see how he'll fit in. I don't think it'll be a problem. I do think it's going to be a massive defensive problem. I'll save my rant on how people reacted to this, which I have my own opinion, just like everyone else has their own.
Well, I don't know why you'd save it. We're not going to talk Durant the whole time, so you might as well give it out right now.
Okay, well, I'll do that then. I don't really care who it is as an athlete. You're allowed to make your own choice. I've had this conversation with people back in the day about LeBron, and I get the LeBron's a different circumstance. But here's my one thing I've always said. If you play out your contract, you have a right to go wherever you want. If you're moving to a better situation, God bless. Is Durant a talented player? Yeah, he's a top three, top five, whatever. But he played his time. He did the best he could in Oklahoma City. This is not a weak move, as Stephen A. Smith said. He's hopping on a bandwagon. This is a weak moment for a superstar. Dude, he did all he could. He's allowed to lead. He's going to a better situation. I'm not going to rip Durant. If he'd gone anywhere else, I wouldn't rip him either. I know this is my team, so I'm extremely happy, but I'll never be on the bandwagon of ripping athletes for moving to a better situation. The only times I do it is when it's Dwight Howard or Carmelo, who you can see noticeably tank on a team when they're the superstar and then say, I demand a trade. LeBron never did that in Cleveland the first time, and you can never say Durant bailed on his team and said, I want out. If a guy busts his ass and plays out his deal, I don't care where he goes. If he goes somewhere better, I guess let people hate on him, whatever, but I won't be one of them. If you play out your money, you don't have to stay in Oklahoma City. These Thunder people are bitching now. Well, you know, this is a result of kind of a small market situation. Well, the league's making money. We have salary cap. We have rules. He went somewhere. I just for Stephen A. Smith to be the first guy in ESPN to come out and blast him for like 10 minutes, the seconds after the trade happened, it was just stupid. Hey, the dude's allowed to go somewhere better. He's joining a better team. He clearly thinks he has a brighter future with the Dubs. I don't get it. People can rip on him or say, well, does he really win a title, all that. All Kevin Durant wants is rings. People on Twitter, ESPN, people, they're not best friends with Durant. The dude went to a better team. It is what it is. I'm happy for him. And Rant.
Okay, well, first of all, beyond Oklahoma City maybe, nobody's saying he can't go where he wants to go as far as leave Oklahoma City, beyond Oklahoma City people. Of course, that's the whole thing. If you've cleared – if you're a free agent, the word is right in there, free, right? You're free to go wherever the hell you want. I suppose technically no, because not everybody could maybe take his cap number or whatever. But
well,
you know what I mean.
Fair.
So
yeah.
As far as him leaving, I don't think that's the issue at all beyond Oklahoma City fans. Nobody's bitching that he left Oklahoma City. It's where he went. I shouldn't say nobody beyond the Oklahoma City, but – we've never had a elite top five, top three, top two, some people think, player go to a team like this. So this is way different than what LeBron did as far as going and joining three people and going, let's go get them. It would be like LeBron going to Boston when Boston kept beating them. It'd be like Jordan going to Detroit when Detroit beat them 3 years in a row. It'd be like, you know, I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. That's just how it is. So this is a lot different than what we've seen. It's not joining up saying, hey, I think me and you can join our own big. They got a big three. I want to build a big three. Let's go. You know what I mean? And people have problems with that as well. Obviously, we saw that with LeBron, and a lot of it had to do with the show, you know, in which he did it, where he let two cities hang out to dry and watch it live, which obviously is not the way you want to go about it. However, we haven't seen this part, you know what I mean? And it is a different situation, Marshall, to go. And I know you're the Warrior fan, and of course you're going to – it's not a – of course you're going to take them. You know what I mean? Of course you're going to want them.
Well,
it has
yeah.
nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. However, though, if he would have went to Cleveland, maybe you'd have a little bit different of a viewpoint. The fact is, they won the championship last year, Golden State, and came within 48 minutes, or 4 minutes, because it was tied, whatever, of winning it again. Nobody's joined in their prime, not an all-star player like Harper or other ones that moved on later to go chase something they didn't have. He's going to a team that almost repeated in a championship, and not just that, but it's a team that actually he was up against going head-to-head, and they were up 3-1. And him in Westbrook down the stretch in game six, let's be honest, there were six turnovers and eight possessions. You know, both of them didn't shoot the ball well in those games. I mean, they had something to do with it. The role players actually were doing their roles. You know what I mean? So this is a way different scenario than we've seen a prime 27-year-old Durant, top two, top five, top three, wherever you got him, to go to a team that already has championship pedigree when you're in your prime is completely different than anything we've seen. And it just hasn't been done. Now, there's been really good scorers that have gone places, or even like an MVP that has gone places in the last 50 years. But in this situation, to a team you went head up with and had a lead, people are going to go, what, you don't have the confidence to say you couldn't beat them next year? You know what I mean? That type of thing. And so it is different. It is different. Had he gone to Cleveland, I think a lot of the same sentiment, like, dude, this is a little bit obvious here. Like, it's a little – so no matter what, when it comes to Durant, he won't be looked at the same way as if he – you know, he just won't be looked at. When they're winning these championships, he won't be looked at as the highest level he could, let's put it that way. And that's just a fact. And I doubt you'll see this happen much ever. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's kind of the old purist look at it and saying, I don't like, and that this is across all sports, by the way, where a lot of times we see a lot of handshakes at the end of games and people are buddy-buddy. They go out to dinner after. That is kind of a new thing. When it comes, you know, the off season is different, but when you're in season, you know, a lot of the purists, a lot of the old timers, they don't like that. And I can understand some of that. Some of that is like, whatever. But, you know, you look at the old, I guess the best way to describe it is what Ray Allen did. And Ray Allen got plenty of shit. It just, he was a veteran, so he wasn't in his prime, so he didn't get as much shit as Durant is getting right now and will continue to get. When he went to the Heat, you know, the Heat had beat them out of the series. You know what I mean? That was stopping Boston from going for those 2 years. And he went and joined them. And you saw how KG and Paul Pierce, especially those two, handled the situation. When you go to handshake him on the bench, KG didn't even see him. He was like a ghost to him. And that's kind of that old school mentality. So for me, I was actually very surprised he went to Golden State. I just didn't – because I really like – I love me some Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? I really do. I think he's a hell of a player. He's a fun player to watch. I think he did a really good job being matched with a guy like Westbrook. And obviously, he has something to do with his development and making him into a more complete player as well and being able to be patient. And like you said – and I thought you said this at a perfect time and a perfect moment, is he could have forced a trade. I don't think a lot, you know, for maybe 2 years in a row, there was times where you're like, oh my God, what are you doing, Westbrook? So, there's a lot of people that would have requested a trade or say it's either him or me, you know, one of the two. So the fact that they got balanced, they did get to the finals, they did have such a run. I just think that, the fact that Oklahoma City has that core around them that is ready to go and in their prime or still young, I think that plays on it too, because it's like, dude, you've kind of redeveloped some of your team. And here you are. You were knocking at the door. Now you're going to go join that team. That is different, and there's nothing anybody can say about it. And as far as the weakest thing, I mean, if you look at it like that, Stephen A. Smith, his opinion may be far. I mean, it's always far one way or other. I mean, I know the show doesn't exist anymore as far as the original show, and I heard Max Kellerman's going to join First Take now, but you know, that's what that show is about for both of them. They're just usually on the complete opposite sides. So that's kind of the shtick.
Yeah.
But I do have to admit, he's not wrong. It is the weakest thing an elite guy has ever done because we've never seen it. Now, would I use that terminology to say, you know, that's a chump move? No, not necessarily, but he does make a clear point. I mean, no one's done this, and this is in sports. This is kind of sacrilegious. You don't go join the if you can't beat them, join them. Does not when you're 27, and not when you just had the team down 3-1. It's almost like judging your character as a basketball player, not as a man. We pretty much feel like we have a good feeling of Durant. You know, obviously with all these guys, we'll never know. O.J. Simpson is a perfect case. That guy was a role citizen model. I mean, that guy helped so many people in so many different ways throughout his career and was such a gentleman, per se, that you would have never guessed that that's where it is. But you know what I mean. But as far as I can't – it's hard not to be judgmental in this moment because no one's ever done it, and it's not a precedent that you want to set. I guess that's the thing, because once they win them, you know, I actually think that this year Golden State won't be hated, because let's not forget they're going to be playing a team that is hated because of LeBron. So you're going to get – I think people are going to be happy right away. In fact, I've heard plenty of bar regulars and people, my friends, saying, you know, I want them to go to Golden State. Then they can beat LeBron. You know what I mean? I want them to go there. I love Golden State already. I love Durant. Let's make them together. So I think once they get over the hump and beat them, then the second year, if they were to repeat, Marshall, then it gets to the point where you start to get used to it and you start to get sick of it, and then you start to hate it, just like the Lakers, just like the Yankees, just like when like the Patriots. You know, I think they're going to be like, oh, really, you won it? I can't believe it. Wow. You know what I mean? So I do think that in 2 years from now, the Warriors will start to get a fair amount of hate, but I think a lot of it will be on Durant as far as, dude, that's just, wow, that's just like easy. That's like a dream team. You know, that's what people, you know, dream team 2.0 is what they'll call it or something like that. But either way, though, the storylines were already, you know, there for next year. You know, we have a potential trilogy set up in the finals. But to add Durant to this, and it's not over, because D Wade for Love, and let's get into that part now too, Marshall. I know you don't want to jump in here. If you think about it, they obviously Bogut moved on. And they don't need a small forward.
He has
so what's his toes on? Right. And so so they did get a decent, serviceable, okay big last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. I don't think he's any kind of shot blocker or anything like that, but he's okay. They have speed still as well, or spades. So
yep.
Their small lineup is really interesting here, because Cleveland's clearly going to have to do something now. And it's funny because, you know, this last year they had to do something just because of the small lineup switch up on them. And then now this year they had to do something during the season too, because they added some things as well. And it's funny because right now it's going to go back to Kevin Love being an issue, because if Draymond Green and Love are together and you can't switch LeBron over, which I'd assume that you're not going to be able to do too much in a game, because he's going to have his hands full with Kevin Durant, which, by the way, he actually does guard. I think he's definitely the best. Well, he's the best defender in the league, so that makes sense that he would, defend him well. But he's had a lot of success both offensively and defensively against Durant. I think those NBA finals at times showed some of that. But when we go back to Draymond on Love, and when you can get him free-flowing a little bit, that's going to be an issue. That will definitely be an issue at that five spot. They're going to have to do something and put and have Thompson at that five spot, have LeBron at the four. And we know, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. You could tell Durant, by his rebound numbers, has played a ton of four. They're going to have to do something, whether it is just go, you know, find a way to talk Love in the coming off the bench and starting a different small forward, a defensive player like a Richard Jefferson like they did. Whatever it is, I really think that they're going to have to – I think they're going to have to add Wade, to be honest with you. I know that sounds funny, but I think they're going to have to add Wade for a more consistent scorer, because we know Smith, J.R. Smith, is not consistent. We know that. Now, his defensive game really turned up this last year and year and a half, even last year too, which I give him a lot of credit for. But he's still very inconsistent with his scoring. And to be a third scorer, you know, we all know you need that. So Love can be that third scorer. I don't know if he'll be that third. I know he won't be a third scorer in a series like that against Golden State. But I just think they got to move him, because they have to have Thompson at the center, Braun at the four, and somebody else at the three, and have Wade. That way you'd have Smith come off the bench, Shumpert come off the bench. I guess if you added Wade, then you'd have three scorers. Technically, that's when you could maybe put Shumpert in at that three, and then it doesn't matter as much. But I honestly think they're either going to have to bring Love off the bench and talk him into it, like we've mentioned, Kevin McHale style, or they're going to have to add D. Wade, which it sounds like if that were to happen, Love would be part of that trade. It's the storylines are great, though, coming in the next year, man. I mean, talk about adding fuel to a fire that was already burning, man. It is and now it's going to start to be split in the next year or two, too. It won't be just mostly anti-LeBron. You know, the Warriors will probably start to get some hate. You could already see some of it when people were kicking them when they were down, man.
Yeah, it's going to come. I mean, if D-Wade joins, that's something. But I'll say this. If Golden
State, I'd say that's
from
a little bit more than something, though. Because he is a good scorer as a third scorer.
He's a good scorer. I just wonder how many more healthy years he has ahead of him. I think last year was one of the healthiest years he's had in, like, 5 years. So, I mean, if you get healthy D. Wade, the guy is still, I mean, obviously a tremendous basketball player. I just wonder how many more healthy years he can go.
Need him for a couple of years, you know, and his minutes will be reduced, obviously, because you already have Smith. His minutes will be he'll be at his career low here, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be so damn impossible trying to guard that Warriors offense. That's a show for a whole nother day. I talk about soap operas. To switch teams up here a little bit. Actually, one side note, I think that in my perfect world, I mean, I hate seeing Boogie suffer with Sacramento. I've just been telling my buddies, I'm like, imagine if Cleveland brought in Boogie. Then I'd say you flip a quarter for who's got the best team in the NBA. I'm sure that's probably not going to happen, but if Boogie Cousins went to Cleveland, oh, boy, that'd be something. But for realistic drama, I can't wait to just watch the Houston Rockets this year. I mean, in your off season, Dwight's gone. You got rid of your headache trauma, then him and Harden don't get along. You bring in, Ryan Anderson and Aaron Gordon, and you bring in a coach that is known for, like, beyond running gun with the Warriors, do, like, up and down tempo, nonstop D'Antoni with the former Suns. I'm not saying this team's going to win an NBA title, Chris, because they don't play defense, but like, for NBA League Pass, if watching the Houston Rockets play this year is going to be something else. This team's going to try and score, like, 140 points a game, and probably give up 145. So I know that that Durant stole the free agency storylines, and rightfully so, and the Warriors are going to be incredibly talented. Their over-under wins, I think Vegas said, is 68.5. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun year. But looking at other free agencies, I thought it was pretty funny how Houston added more shooters and gunners, so that'll add to that team. As you mentioned yesterday, the Pacers made a couple of just smart player moves. Al Horford left the Hawks to join the Celtics, which was, I believe, kind of the Celtics' pitch to make them more approachable for Durant. And then once the Hawks lost Horford, Dwight Howard went there. So, I mean, there was some other stuff. Clearly, I think maybe the underlying theme of this whole NBA free agency is how the cap went up, which allowed Durant to be able to be a Golden State Warrior. It's kind of funny, going into this up-and-coming season for the Warriors, Stephen Curry is going to be the fourth highest-paid player on the team. Klay Thompson, Draymond, and Durant are all going to be making more money. So it is interesting when you look at how teams, you know, go team by team financially, how this works out for teams. You know, for example, the Clippers, it would have been financially really tough for Durant to get a deal. The Warriors now have Curry being the fourth highest paid player on the team. You know, I think the Spurs were able to kind of get a Gasol. So the underlying theme of free agency with all these people, and it basically seems that a guy getting $10 million a year in free agency is kind of like almost the minimum to people. It's just fascinating. I'm happy for the athletes. I'm never going to go on a rant to say these guys are overpaid. I mean, this is a result, Chris, of the NBA becoming a more popular sport. I think that the generation of our age, being like probably like 30 to 38, to like 40-year-old male, they've done a great job of kind of making the sport more enjoyable for us to watch. They've done a great job of marketing. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, NBA always seems to have the right commercials. You always see them doing charity work. You know, they change up the dress code for post-game interviews, so you kind of get rid of the fair or unfair, you know, thug image. I think all the right things NBA has done. And
well, they need to fix on some of these outfits that the players are bringing in nowadays, though. I think those are worse, actually. But well, that's a different show, too.
I'm kind of going back and forth here. But overall, with the right decision NBA has made and made it a more popular sport for people and younger generations, that results in this money being spent. And, you know, as you said yesterday, it's happy.
Well, it's the players. The players, too, Marshall. Yeah. The rule changes have been in place for over a decade. So this stuff didn't just happen. You know what I mean? LeBron and several other of these top dudes have really made it more popular, you know?
Absolutely. Like so many people have said this year, and I always like to listen to podcasts, like find a kid nowadays in America that doesn't love Stephen Curry. Like he's such a marketable name, got just the family life, the smile, like every little kid's a Steph Curry fan. LeBron, whether good or bad, people have love him or hate him, but he's been great. I mean, there's so many good reasons. So that's led to this enormous cap, and the cap's actually supposed to go up again in the next year or two. So financially, I don't know, like to see guys that aren't that great making $10 million a year is kind of crazy to wrap your head around, just because you're like, dude, Tyler Johnson is making 4 years, $52 million. Like, who the bleep is Tyler Johnson? Like, dude, he ain't even that good. But hey, good payday, good for you. Just crazy to see the numbers. I get that everything, you know, goes to what the market value is, Chris, but to see these NBA players who aren't that great making $10 million, you're like, huh, dude, well, why was I not training harder when I was in high school? You know, when Austin Rivers and these dudes are making $11-10 million a year, you're like, damn, what a crazy amount of numbers we're seeing all of a sudden.
Well, see, I don't know what the big story is, because we've known about this for 2 years. In fact, people have signed weird contracts because of this. You know, it's going up $26 million, and then it's going up $16 or $14 million next year. So, to me, I don't see the problem with this. I mean, originally,
I don't think there's.
I remember. Well, clearly on social media there's a problem. People, that's all people want to talk about is what kind of, why are these guys getting paid like this? This is crazy, you know, that type of stuff. My thing is, I don't understand why people are shocked when they see these numbers. What else is it going to do when you put up in 2 years, when you go up over $40 million on a cap? That's gonna bring everything up. You know what I mean? So I think it's real basic business stuff. You know what I mean? And also we got to remember, people talk about the players. The last time they did a negotiation, which was 2011, the players were getting 57%. Now it's a 50-50 deal. That was also part of this thing, that the owners are making out more than they were prior. You know what I mean? And not just that, but think about it like this, Marshall. In his last year, Michael Jordan, who was the best player in 97-98, he made $35 million his last year. In 2 years, someone's going to get to $33 million a year, or in a year, I guess, this year and next year. So next year, someone is able to sign a $33 million deal. Here's the kicker, though. Think about that. That's actually really good, because inflation, you know, if you add inflation from 1998, $35 million is a lot more money, right? You know what I mean? Nowadays?
Oh, yeah.
Like it'd be like 50, 60, it'd be like 50-something million. I forgot what the number was. I think they said like 49-something or 51 or whatever. So, and then in 99, they fixed those rookie contracts, something that's really helping the NFL now when they finally got their rookie contracts more, you know, under secure or, you know, that type of thing. So to me, this is – people are saying – like I saw people saying there's going to be a lockout and all this stuff. Like lockout? This is all – how can there be a lockout when you got more money and the owners are making more money than they were previously? Not just the players, but the owners. The owners are making 7% more money than they had prior with the new $1 billion in there. So I don't know. I could understand originally with some of the basketball contracts, and also the A-Rod contract stands out as that first whoa. And then recently we've gotten in the $200 millions for baseball. You know, that baseball is similar, where you could have a down year, but if you average my last 3 years, I get paid like this because the court says it. You know what I mean? So we've seen these things before. We haven't had a $200 million, but we're going to. And LeBron and Durant are, or I should say LeBron and Westbrook and a couple others next year are going to get a over $200 million contract. So they'll be joining baseball that way. But to me, I think it's real basic. Not just that, but you have 15 guys on a team. And then your D-League guys, what do you have, a couple of those maybe? You know what I mean? So to me,
yeah.
I guess I don't understand what the whole hoo-ha is about. People are saying, you know, in the NFL, $150 million, it's the most. Dude, this isn't the NFL. They have 53 guys on a team. You know what I mean? Like, hello? You know, plus you get hurt and you're done for your career sometimes. The money's not guaranteed except in the signing bonus. And that's, you know, every other sport has guaranteed, you know, contracts, but I guess I'm blown away by people saying, you know, every year there's a new guy in the NFL that's making the most money ever in the NFL. Every single year. Harrison just signed. Is Harrison the best safety the last decade of this league? No, he's not. I think Ed Reed was, but right. But he's getting paid like he is. Well, what's the difference? It doesn't matter when you have 53 guys to pay, dude. You know what I mean? This happens every year. He's the most paid defensive lineman ever. You know, we hear that every single year. So, to me, I think this is people counting other people's money and not getting it. And in the whole thing of, and I know you said it kind of funny and innocently, but you see that too, is like, man, why wasn't I playing basketball? It's like, dude, just because you're playing doesn't mean you just go pro. These dudes sacrificed a good chunk of their childhood to do this. I know guy that
went
pretty far. Sam Jacobs. I know a guy. He went to the Lakers. He didn't make a great career, but he did go to Europe after that. And this dude would turn in well before everyone. Marshall, even at the camp, that dude's at like 9:30, he's in his room every freaking night. You know what I mean? So they did a lot of work. A lot of people think, even like seven-footers, like, oh, if you're 6'9", you should just be in the league. That's nonsense. You know what I mean? That,
oh, yeah.
It's totally taken
yeah.
away all the work that these guys did. And, you know, we could talk about a bunch of stuff. So I think it's been way overblown. But it doesn't surprise me that it's being way overblown. People like to count people's money all the time. I mean, that's kind of our society, right? This whole extra uber capitalism that we live in. That's how it goes, and that's how it is. Let's move on, though, to other teams. Have they done enough to make a difference? Let's talk about the Knicks. They got the old Bulls club together. Somehow they're just going to get – you know, I know Gasol just signed with the Spurs, but they could maybe find a way to trade him to the Knicks so they can get another former Bulls player in there. They did a lot of stuff which will make them better and maybe add a little excitement, but it really, in the end – it's not going to beat Cleveland. I do, however, like what the Pacers did because they knew they needed to do something. First of all, they went seven games with Toronto, who I think they're clearly the second best team right now in the East. But Miami, if they brought Wade, would have something to say with that. You know what I mean? Obviously, it really matters. You know, thoughts and prayers go out to the health of Bosch over there, man. You know, if I were him, I'd probably shut it down, to be honest with you. This is 2 years in a row. There's blood clots. There's all sorts of weird health scares that it kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, it sounds like you've made good investments too. Maybe you should shut it down. But if they got him back, they might be able to beat Toronto. But the Pacers, like I said, they went seven games. They obviously don't have the same roster that they did a handful of years ago, right, when they almost beat the Heat or were up on them 2-1. And they were just, you know, knocking on the door at all times, basically, right, with that squad. A lot of that squad's gone. Hibbert went to the Lakers. Then he's crossed the whole country on the East now with the Hornets. I do like what the Pacers did a little bit here and there. Al Jefferson they added. They added a couple of pieces. Atlanta, they had that point guard issue. They wanted to go with Schneider, the younger dude, or do they stick with who they had? They moved him. I think that works for both teams. I kind of like what the Pacers did a little bit, knowing that they had to do something and they weren't going to be able to bring in some big name, so they maneuvered a little bit. What are some of the other moves? Obviously, the Lakers made the biggest move, psych. They're screwed, and I love it. I freaking love seeing the Lakers pity. You know, I love seeing them suck. And they're going to find out that since they don't really ever have to do it, draft, like importantly draft, you know, it's going to be interesting because people are wondering why people aren't going to L.A. You want to know why? Because they got young talent. You know, it'd be like people, why didn't the Wolves get a big free agent? Why in the hell would a big free agent sign here right now? Like, think about it. You know, they're young, and they need to do the right stuff in drafts. Then in 2 to 3 years, you can start to add a bigger name or whatever like that. Rondo with the Bulls as well. The Bulls, they're in rebuild mode. That is something that some people thought. A variety of ways, actually. Rondo was even rumored here. By the way, locally, Cole Aldrich from Bloomington signed here 3 years. I love him as a backup center. He's a very solid backup center. He did really good work in backup role last year for Oklahoma City. So we got a local kid in a spot we need a backup, you know, a nice veteran backup. But what are some other moves as we start to get deeper in the show? And you know, we're not going to go too deep. But what are some of the other moves that kind of, you know what? I saw David West just went to the Warriors.
I like that. That's nice. That's a vet big that will make our team better. That dude, he still has nice little post moves. Oh, that's cool.
He can run. You know, he can get up and down,
yeah,
too.
I guess Gasol coming in is kind of like, all right, well, I'll just join the Dubs now. I will say, speaking of Golden State, the writing was on the wall for Harrison Barnes, and it basically was, you know, you had to send him enough. He's probably going to go, and if Durant did enjoy us, we probably would re-sign him, but I'm happy for Harrison Barnes. You know, we've talked about money and everything, and the numbers are changing now, and they look different on paper. I'm proud Harrison Barnes got the max. I don't know if he necessarily quite deserved it, and I'm a diehard Tar Heels fan, but I'm happy for the guy that, you know, I was like, dude, you had a good run with us. You were a great player, and we sent out a nice tweet, but, you know, Durant's coming in, so sorry, you got to go. I know him and Bogut now are probably going to Dallas. You know, for the Knicks, I'll say this. That Porzingis got a lot of early praise last year, and I get that's New York media. The second half of the year when I watched him play, he didn't really seem that special to me. And I know the kid's a rookie, and he has time to learn and grow, and he's a big that can, you know, shoot. But I think
and he's a young rookie, too, you know.
He's
very young rookie.
Yeah.
Too.
And I don't want to harp on him and say that the kid's got no future, but, I mean, for kind of in the middle part of the season, you had, like, NBA people saying, well, who do you like more, Karl Anthony or Porzingis? It's like, dude, I know this is New York love, but Porzingis is doing okay. Karl Anthony is setting rookie records with, like, names that are all-time greats. So I think that if you can find a way to have Porzingis improve and step his game up to a new level, then I think you're looking at a team that's going to be a little more, you know, threatening, at least from making a playoff standpoint. I mean, the Derrick Rose thing is nice, but, you know, it's hard for the dude to stay healthy. So I just think a lot of their future revolves around Porzingis. We already mentioned, you know, Houston, who's going to be insane. I'm trying to think, Orlando, you know, you got Ibaka.
I don't know.
Nice,
what do you mean they're going to be insane? I don't understand
Houston,
what you're saying. Insane?
I just think you're adding I just think you're.
I mean, they were already
an
offensive team.
They've
scored
made it
the
more
ball
now.
Pretty well already.
Well, and now you're adding an offensive coach with offensive shooters. I just think they're going to be a good watch every night. Not that it's going to be a how-to on defense, but I just think that they'll be every game is going to try to be in one.
Just caught my ear. That's all.
Oh,
insane. They're going to be insane. It kind of sounds like they're going to do something.
Insanely awful at defense. you know, the Kings, they've pulled in a couple. They've signed Matt Barnes, and they're going to follow. I think the next year you're going to see the sweepstakes for DeMarcus Cousins because he's probably going to be out the door. You know, there's people already talking about Westbrook. You know, I think that what the Spurs obviously adding Gasol is nice. It appeared yesterday near the end of the day, Chris, that Duncan is hinting at retiring. Obviously, you know, that's one of the best of all time, the best power forward of all time. Ginobili's coming back. You know, so Spurs are going to be there. It was kind of funny yesterday, and I don't think these guys weren't, like, taking a shot at Durant, you know. But when Durant officially signed.
Pierce took a shot at him.
Yeah, Pierce and Austin Rivers was like, shake my head. It's like, Austin Rivers, shut up. You're in the league because of your dad, and you're making $10 million a year. You can just keep your mouth shut on Twitter. Pierce is a vet that's won rings.
He's not in the
Pierce
league because of his dad, dude. That's bullshit.
His dad drafted him, and he's a backup player. Anyway, I mean, he needs to shut his mouth. I don't mind Pierce going off
that's
on
that's fine, but it's not because his dad got him in the league.
Well, okay. I mean, maybe not.
He played winning minutes last year off the bench. Come on, dude.
He
not
improved
just
last
in the league
year.
It's a Duke player. Get over it. He's from Duke. We know you don't like it.
It was funny, though, to see Lillard and CJ McCollum be like, oh, both their tweets are like, oh, man. Like, what's happening in this league? You kind of tell, like, they're like, dude, we gotta play this team maybe in the playoffs again next year. Like, last year, like, we fought them tough, and Steph was dinged up. Like, you know, we're growing here in Portland. And, oh, shit, they had Durant. It was like a collective gasp of McCollum and Lillard, like, ah, crap. How do we counter that? We signed Evan Turner, which, you know, for Portland's probably a nice move, but, well, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I'll say this, Chris. I want to see if maybe someone in the East can maybe take another step up. Again, maybe New York now has pieces. I will say in a couple of years, I think that Boston can continue to get better. I think the Horford deal was nice. I think that a lot of people, maybe that are random basketball fans, probably don't know that Stevens is one of the best, youngest coaches in the game and does a lot with what he has. So if you're Boston, maybe looking at a few more pieces can be clutch. Obviously, like you said at the start of the show, the Vegas favorites are going to be, you know, the Warriors, Cavaliers, and Spurs. So I think that, you know, I'm not really sure who else made a big splash. Like you said, the Pacers, the Magic. I mean, there's really a bunch of small pieces going around.
Yeah, the Magic actually did add a fair amount and did that trade, too. That's a good call. I forgot to mention them.
Yeah, I'm trying to – I mean, it's kind of like in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, like who else impressed me in free agency? And I just keep thinking, okay, well, there's the Durant story. And then it's kind of like, oh, then there's kind of everything else. Let me ask you this, and I've heard this brought up, and I might have asked you this year ago, and I can't remember if not. You know, clearly, I think the sport needs a salary cap. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But would you have an issue with there not being a player salary cap?
Hold on, you broke up. You broke up in there. You broke up.
Oh,
you
okay.
Said the right. It clearly needs one, or I didn't.
Well,
the beginning kind of broke up.
Oh, okay. I think we all agree that NBA needs a salary cap. You can't have it like baseball. But what would you say to the fact that if there was not a personal player cap? So, in theory, you could sign, I guess, Durant and LeBron for a huge chunk and then try and surround them with a bunch of scrubs. Do you like the fact that there's a player max rule? Or do you think that should not be in the rule books for the free agency and how teams evolve and build themselves?
No, everything needs a ceiling. And not just
okay. That,
but like even when we talk about poor old Steph Curry – you know, because he's the fourth guy on his team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what he's making off the court. You see what I'm saying? So, to be honest with you, these guys make – I mean, Bronny had $100 million. Now, given this was 2003 and it was a little skewed, and he was a different specimen coming out of – maybe it's not the best example, but he had a $100 million deal before he stepped foot on a court. So, and I'm not saying everybody's like that. Usually they're more like 10, 20, 40, 80 – it kind of matters who you are and what you got. But
yeah,
the outside, the court stuff, that's where the stars get that kind of treatment. You know, all these other mid-level guys, they're going to get Dodge Ram down the street. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm going to be a Dodge Ram. Come pick me up. I'll sign your T-shirt. You know, and there'll be 40 people
that show up.
20 of them were there to buy a car. The other 20 were just rubes. You know what I mean? So to me, that's where the other money comes into place. And they say, you know, that LeBron this year was worth, you know, for Cleveland, actually, his worth was just – you could pay him like $130 million a year, and it actually would add up if you look at merchandise and everything. I mean, even Cleveland, they got a new arena out of his ass. You know what I mean? Really? Because they
– yeah.
They didn't have a good arena prior till he got there, you know, and then a handful of years ago, all of a sudden they got a beautiful arena. So, no, I don't think so, because then you run into what you just said, you know, then the small markets will lose out. I think it kills the small markets, you know, in that situation, because then you have to compete with the bigger markets to match the top prices. You know, I think they got it figured out. Pretty damn good. There's always going to be some weird stuff and all that. But people think like this money's running out or something, like it's only during these years. It'll set a place where these will be the contracts. And then in a handful of years, it'll slowly, you know, move up. I wouldn't doubt that in the next, because I think they last like 8 to 10 years. The last one was 2011. So I wouldn't doubt if the players actually get more of a percentage this time, because they dropped 7% last time, which is a huge gap. You know, 57-50 actually is a fairly big gap, especially when you bring in new revenue. And remember, Marshall, that new revenue was from the ratings already established. It has nothing to do with what happened this year, you know.
Yeah.
So they're going to get paid in the future. That's how this stuff works. Like, hey, you're paying me for what I got 3 years ago too, motherfucker, because we did a great rating there, you know. So there's actually going to be more money since the money already went up. In fact, the ratings started to change with the old Celtics Lakers in 08-09, whenever that was. Those, when they didn't go back to back head up, but I think it was 2 out of 3 years. And it, you know, of course the big cities had something to do with that, Boston and the Lakers, you know, but ever since then the ratings have been up. I mean, you go minorly down at times throughout series and all that, just like this last one, you know, when it became kind of blowouts, the middle ratings actually weren't awesome like they had. But if you look at game one and game seven, they're phenomenal. So they're going to get – this thing's only going to go up now, because, you know, if you've already gotten new money into the system, they're on a certain scale now where they're going to get paid for what they just did to get the second largest, you know, game rating since Jordan put them away. And they were only $4 or $5 million off of that one. Now, it's different because in the 90s, you know, not everybody had cable either. You know what I mean? Not everybody had there wasn't 100 million or 88 million homes with cable. Let's put it that way. Of course, cable's decreased in the last 5 years. Still, it's nowhere. It was more like 35 to 40 million homes in the 90s that had cable. And some of the times it'd be on NBC. Sometimes it'd be on TNT and that type of thing. So, but I'll tell you what, man. The NBA, we thought it was healthy and we thought we had storylines, but it only gets – it'll only, you know, it only adds depth. And like I said, I think maneuvering Kevin Love either out of Cleveland or out of the starting lineup, and if they were to get D Wade in the starting lineup for the next couple of years, I actually do think that would be a difference maker for Cleveland to be able. We just did your exact move. You know, we just switched it up. No, but I would say as a basketball player, still Wade is better than J.R. Smith on the whole. As far as if you need 15 points from me, I'm getting you to 15 every single night almost. I'm not going to give you 7 and shoot 10 of 12. And then the next night, you know, go 6 of 8 from 3. You know what I mean? That Wade will be, and plus, like you said, this last year, he finally got over the hump of that knee, and he looked great this year. And like I said, they're going to be able to rest him because they got JR. They got JR too. So you can, but I really think that, you know, Kyrie, you know, and him in the backcourt, I do think overall that's better basketball. I really think that's better. Now, Love is the issue there, and I don't think you can get Wade unless he. Unless he goes for a real low ball, I think to be able to pull this off, you're going to have to get rid of Love. But to be able to beat Golden State, you're going to have to get rid of Love off the starting five, because it's a no-go. I'm not saying that adding Dwayne Wade and then putting a veteran defender in there, which is what I think they'll do, does the trick. But we got to make sure we can't just hand the – you know, we can't. I mean, what did we do last year? We handed the trophy over to San Antonio, didn't we? Who was the favorite going into last year? It was the Spurs, right? I think we can. That's what we all said because
the Warriors were neck and neck. But
But I mean, you even said it. You even said that I would probably on paper put them ahead just because they're damn good. And then now they, you know, then they got Aldridge. You know, so we can't give them. Can't give them that.
No.
But it like you said, offensively, we got to make sure that Durant can move without the ball as much as, you know, because that was a different system. It was really two guys breaking people down rather than that's not the situation, especially in the playoffs. You can even see Curry's going to have to play a different way too, because you didn't see in the finals, you didn't see him dribbling around, did you? You didn't see him dribbling,
no,
making people look like a fool, like he did all year. You know what I mean? He wasn't putting people on as he was putting maybe on rollerblades, not ice skates. You know, he had them on rollerblades, not quite all the way ice skates. So you saw here and there, I think game 6 and 7, especially 7, I think, in Oklahoma City, you did see some of that. But overall, they weren't just going to let him dribble around. They were going to do what Oscar Robertson said and say, get to that mother effer when he gets across half court, because he'll do anything at any given time. And that's another thing, too. The shots will go down for Curry and Thompson, too. How are they going to do it? Will they be able to be, some guys need their shots. No one's a volume shooter over there. Well, I take that back. From the three-point line, at times they get a little volume too much between both of them, especially Curry. But he's, that'll be an adaption for him. So there is only one ball. There's no doubt about that. But having more energy for Draymond helps too. You know, now him not having to be the third scorer and having a big offensive game lends himself to do what he can do defensively and also what he can do as far as running that team from the point guard position. And Steph's clearly going to have to make better decisions down the stretch of fourth quarter games. We saw some of that as well. But it's an adjustment, but it's not a full-on adjustment period where you're going to see an 8-8 team. You know what I mean? This is just one person adjustment to it. Now, clearly, we're going to see if they have a rim protector, because that was a difference when Bogut was out or not being as effective too. And you don't want Bronny to keep getting to the rack. And then Iguodala, is his back going to hold up for another year or two too? That'll be something we look at as well. But yeah, on paper, it's hard not to say Golden State's not going to win it next year.
Yeah, I guess for my 2 cents on that, I just don't know how you're going to guard Clay. If you focus pick and rolls on Durant and Curry, I mean, you're just going to have your hands full. Some guy made a great point. I forget what announcer or analyst it was, but they're saying, for all the NBA that we've loved, we've never had a phenom player with the stature of Curry. LeBron has the body of like an immortal god. He's been to 6 straight finals.
Hold on. You broke up again right at the beginning of that. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with my phone. I have good signal in here.
I think it's
that Curry
my Skype connects.
Oh, okay. Curry is one of the first ever NBA All-Star players that doesn't have the build of like a truck. Like, LeBron is like the bottle of like or a body of like an immortal god. The dude doesn't get hurt. He never seems to really be injured. And like Magic and Jordan and Barkley and like, David Robinson and Tim Duncan. All these great players that you think of, Patrick Ewing, they never really got hurt. Curry is a guy that maybe he was a little worn out. Curry, I'm sure the dude's in incredibly good shape, but like people said, the way the way people chipped at him the whole time, the dude probably did get a little tired. So bringing in someone to help share that load of, just time and energy and sweat will help. Like, for example, if people wanted to, follow LeBron around the playoffs, chip at him on the screens, he'd probably knock you on your ass. So you can't really take shots at LeBron and not expect to get curled to the floor. Maybe the worn-out Curry that we saw this year won't really be as much of an issue this next season with Durant now being there. I just think the offense is going to be incredibly fun to watch. I mean, clearly you have a coach in Kerr that, is very high on passing. That's how their offense rolls. You don't have a good shot, you pass. And I just don't know as a defense how you're going to be able to guard, three guys that can kind of all score. And then you have poor old Draymond, who's developed a little bit of a better shot. It's going to be fun basketball. And I am kind of lucky that this is my team. If if, for example, Durant
kind of?
Had gone to the Spurs.
You just used the word kind of lucky. Kind of? I'd say that's
extremely?
A full-on lucky. Extreme. There you go. I like that. That's extremely, yes.
Because if Durant had gone to the Spurs and you would have had Durant, Kawhi, and L.A. with Popovich's mind, oh, boy. good luck. We've talked this whole show and we haven't even mentioned the Spurs. I think that they're 1 or 2 years away from Pop rebuilding, assuming he stays there, and then being right back on the map. I mean, you know, they got the older guys, and you're not ever going to force a guy like Duncan or Jamal to retire, and they still obviously have played at a good level. And last year they were phenomenal. But, you make 1 or 2 more nice moves with the Spurs, and all of a sudden they're right back up there being a team that can play with LeBron or can play with the Warriors. The over-under win total for the Warriors is already 68.5. I mean, it's going to be quite a season. I don't know. I'm just excited to watch that first Warriors game, and we'll see how things play. You know, as you mentioned, kind of one of my last points, the Lakers. Well, they got Mozgov and Bang, and then you got Ingram and freaking D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson. It's going to be something in L.A. too. You got a lot of pieces. You got the young, you got the kid from Kentucky, Julius Randle. We'll see what kind of Lakers team they have this year, Chris. they made their big splash with Mozgov, so yeah, I don't know. There'll be something. At least they've been trying to add people. And then you have the team in the other part of the city where this could be their last year. You know, we talk about how the Warriors, the future looks promising. I'll never doubt the Spurs, all his top pitches there. LeBron still clearly has good time left in his legs. This is probably going to be the last year this Clippers 3 is assembled. Let's see what they do, you know, because that organization's always believed they have the team that can win a title, but it's either bad luck or injury that costs them. Well, obviously when your rival Warriors do what they do, this might be the last year we see those three together in L.A. for Clipper uniforms.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll say this, though, about the whole Steph Curry's the – we haven't seen that size and that all-star. I totally disagree with you, dude. I mean, do you know of a guy named Allen Iverson? There's a guy named Allen Iverson. You got to take off about 15 pounds off of Curry, right? Take about 15 pounds off of Curry and take about 3 inches off of Curry, okay? And that's, then you have Allen Iverson, okay? So he was a much smaller guy. Have you heard of Isaiah Thomas? This guy would go amongst the trees. So as far as we've never had a guy like this size, that's totally false. And I can do like mid-level guys like Kevin Johnson, who was an all-star too, who was shorter and smaller than him. So I think that Curry is the best shooter off the dribble. But that doesn't mean he's the best off the dribble. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, off the dribble to get to the rack, Iverson is probably the best all time at getting off the dribble going to the rack. Not dribbling and shooting a three, but dribbling and driving. You know what I mean? Driving to the rack. That guy took so much punishment. So... And Barkley, not a good example. He was a power forward playing 6'5". He had some meat on him, but he was way undersized for his especially in the 90s. You know, 80s and 90s, when the league was power forwards and centers, he was 6'5" playing in that. So we've seen guys like that. We've seen Iverson, like I said, you got to take a good 15 pounds off of Curry and shrink him. He was 5'11". He was 5'11", like a buck 65. That's what Iverson
was. Iverson was just a tougher SOB. I mean, it's not close. I mean, what you're saying is right. And I guess
same with Isaiah.
But those guys just had a different tenacity to themselves when they played too. You know.
I know, but you said we hadn't seen a guy this size at this level. That's fair. I just had to clear that up.
You're right.
We have plenty of time.
You've been named two of the best smaller guards in basketball.
In a more physical period, too. In a time when you could actually be more physical. And it'd just be a normal fall. It wouldn't even be a flagrant, you know?
Yeah, and I guess those guys are just in better physical condition. What you're saying is right. No, I can't argue that. I just think that Curry got worn down. He was worn down physically with how he played, and that's just an issue that can probably be less a burden this year with Durant being on the team. But another thing is
when you say that they can't guard Thompson, they did a pretty good job on Thompson without completely doubling him. The first couple of games you saw both of them, they obviously did a great job on them in the first three games, both of them. Clearly, you could see the points tell you that, right? In fact, I'm willing to guess those three or those two won't ever have those three games in a row like that again. You know what I mean? Especially the first two. Or the first one, I guess. Yeah, now I think about it because the bench did so good in that first game. I forgot about that part. They only had like 20-something points together. But remember, Kyrie was able to not just guard Steph Curry. He outplayed him in the series. Remember, and he just turned 24. I know he's a Dookie, and I know he's now a Cav, but he outplayed Curry in the finals. That's an open – you know when you open it up and then you shut it? That's an open-shut case. There's no debating that if Kyrie didn't outplay Curry. So, therefore, that kind of evens itself out right now on the court. And then – if you were to bring in Wade, he's a pretty good defender, and he also makes you think even more than J.R. Smith. So Thompson, would he, they didn't have to hide Kyrie. He was sitting right there on him. So when we say all this stuff, it's unguardable. Now, wait a second, because LeBron, if they are able to maneuver something, LeBron covers Durant historically very well. And I know what you mean about the pick and roll, but if Durant and Curry are doing the pick and roll and you have Kyrie and LeBron, they were able to not even switch sometimes on that. They were able to call it before and not switch. And LeBron's able to follow things to where they don't always have to switch. He can stay around Durant. So although I think that's an incredible potent pick and roll, let's not act like they didn't contain those guys as much as anybody's going to contain them. Thompson and Curry got contained as much as they have in the last 3 years as anybody ever. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I just think with Durant, if you want to double one of those guys, you're just setting yourself up with fire. They didn't double him anymore,
Marshall. Down the stretch, they didn't double him. They were going one-on-one, head up with everybody.
Adding Durant to that dynamic, I don't know if you can play Clay and Curry and Durant all heads up and then Durant. I just think that presents a lot of issues.
Would Kyrie, Wade, and LeBron chop liver then at that point or what? Kyrie, LeBron, and Wade.
No.
Let's just say theoretically, that's pretty good.
Sure. It is. Yeah, you're right. I just think that last year people were starting to solve the Steph and Draymond pick and roll. If you add Durant in that now, he can shoot over people. I just think he adds such a nice piece to an offense that probably was worn out from trying to set the record. Curry wasn't himself in the finals, and you're adding a piece that I don't think Curry will have a problem adjusting him to. I just think it's going to be a very, very tough offense to guard. And if you decide to double team someone in that offense, then they're going to kill you with an open player. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be fun. I'm almost ungrateful to be a fan of this team because I can't wait to watch this year. I don't know what your strategies are going to be because people seem to figure out that if you bump Steph around and try to contain Draymond and make him beat you, okay. Well, now we got another piece in there, and all these guys can thankfully play together. Like the death lineup that will be this year, Steph, Clay, Durant, Iguodala, and Draymond. Oh, man, I, I'm excited. We'll see. I think what you're saying is true. Obviously, LeBron, Kyrie, Wade.
And in that lineup, there's no rim protector. There's
that,
not one rim
one
protector
that,
in there.
They
see what I'm saying?
That's why that
so it's not all,
signing.
You know, he's nice for the regular season, but he ain't going to give you any rim protection in the playoffs.
No, yeah, we need to work a way to bring in another center. And that's why it's unfortunate that Ely's gone, but that was a percussion of the cap, and he kind of didn't have the best playoffs either. So, I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, next year's going to be fun, and I'm happy to see what kind of team this Warriors turn out. But and also, I think it'll be nice. I don't think they're going to go for the 73 games and get worn out. And you can rest Curry now. Like we talked about how LeBron looked fresh in the playoffs this year, as fresh as he's been. That's something we're going to be able to see more this year. Golden State is not, you know, busting your ass to try and win 73. I just think there's a lot of positives, and mostly I just say this because of Kerr. You know, that what he's done there, it's just – I'm excited. I just think it's going to be a very hard team to defend, and we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. But my one point I was going to make, I guess, for my last point of the show was, you know, we talked about how, you know, Durant is joining this great team. Well, I think it's a huge compliment to the Warriors for being incredible drafters because Boston LeBron joined Wade. Now, I'm not saying the Warriors are scrubs, but this is a team they've all developed. So, I mean, to say, like, well, you know, he's joining a great team, and this is a team they've assembled all in the draft. So it's not like we really bought anyone else in.
Well,
hold on now.
It didn't get all assembled in the draft the last 2 years. I mean, Livingston, did they draft him? Did they draft Iggy?
Iggy signed him,
the MVP 2 years ago.
They signed Livingston when people thought he pretty much was no longer going to be a...
I didn't ask you that. It wasn't all drafted. That's all I'm saying. What's that have to do with anything anyway? That doesn't have anything to do with Durant going to a great team. What's your point, I guess?
Well, early in the show you mentioned, you know, well, we can't really compare this to, you know, or you said something about LeBron going to Miami with Wade and Bosch, to which, you know, if people suggest that at all, I just think that even is a further compliment to the Warriors, how they've created this apparent incredible team, and they've really done it without having to, you know, bring in another star. He's joining a true team, and it's just going to be incredibly fun to watch. It's just, there's not like a LeBron and
but I don't
Bosch
get what your
coming
point
out
is.
Of Miami.
I don't understand what your point is, though.
I had it earlier in the show.
We've been watching the incredible team. That doesn't have anything to do with they were down 3-1 to a team you're going to go to that you should have beat. You should have beat this team, and now you don't have the faith in yourself to get it done? What is it? There's something there. No one's ever done this.
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, Curry played 34 minutes a game. Just throwing that out there. Draymond Green played 38 minutes a game. Last year, his stats. You said he got wore down. He played 34 minutes a game.
I still think he was worn out. He still just seemed worn out in the finals. Wouldn't you say?
I said on defense he had to work on both sides of the court, which is something he hadn't done in the heat of the battle, defensively and offensively. Because the minutes, even in the finals, the minutes weren't completely out of hand because all the blowouts on both sides. So he got worn down from the physical play or because they were going for 73, although 73 was done mid-April. The finals were in June. So you think he was worn down from getting beat up or just worn down from the pressure of 73, even though he played 34 minutes a game?
I think both collectively. I would say more towards the physicality, but I'd say the team had a long year. Yeah, I'd say that going for that 73 put a mental drain on him. That
mental. It was a mental thing too, right?
Because
73
would
be a mental thing. because it wouldn't be physical because you're still only playing 34 minutes a game, which for a star in his prime is low minutes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there were games where, like, he was sitting on the bench, and, yeah. I mean, I still think they probably could have rested him a little bit more, but, yeah, overall, yeah, he was himself mentally and physically, but I don't think that's going to be a problem anymore, so that's good. I just can't wait to watch this team. That home, they're going to be something else. I hope they don't worry about the record, but I just can't wait to watch Durant join that team and see what kind of offensive prowess we get to watch.
Definitely, and we'll be back late August. Don't really exactly. Actually, let me check real quick. Like, I got a calendar right here.
Well, we actually have good games that first 2 weeks of, well, at least respectable games to talk about. You know, sometimes we talk about how the opening calendar for college football isn't exactly gorgeous or sexy of games. We got some nice ones. I actually might be going to the Alabama-USC game in Dallas because I'll be moving down there at that point, seeing Lane Kiffin go against his former boys.
It'll still be in August. It'll probably be in the 30
sure.
range. That'll be our first show. So we'll be back football. It's called the College Ball Show because we go college football to the title game. We maneuver for the regular season all the way to the title game for college basketball. Then we go to the NBA playoffs, go all the way to the finals for that, do the NBA draft, and do the free agency show. So this is our last show for a little, probably about 7 weeks, give or take. So we will be gone, but please stay with us. We'll be back for college football. It's called the College Ball Show. You can get it right where you're listening to this one.
And next year we'll have people looking for Boogie Cousins, and I can't wait. I'm already excited for next year's show of free agency, Chris. Where does my man Boogie Cousins go? Because God knows he's got to leave Sacramento. with that said, it's been fun.
He'll have two hands on the bottom of his shorts and be bent over. That's what I do know about Boogie.
I'm telling you, man, if LeBron wants to make a statement, give Boogie a call and say, Boogie, come play with me. I think that's a counter move the Cavs could make to be serious contenders with the Dubs. I don't know how great Boogie and LeBron would get well, but it'd be sure as hell fun to watch. Chris and I'll be back soon. College football, I remember last year we did four shows in a row where we talked about a walk-off win. And we're not talking baseball. We had a month of walk-off wins in a row of college football. That was craziness. So college football is always going to offer something. NBA next year could be Warriors, Cavs, NBA Finals. Let's fast forward a year. College football, it's never easy, never simple. Something always crazy happens. And Chris always has some pain to go through for the Gophers or Hurricanes, and USC always lets me down. So it'll be fun. We'll be back soon. Take care. Enjoy your summer.
Gophers are going 10-2 this year.
And USC is winning the Pac-12.
Wait, it will happen. 10-2. I'm giving them 9 wins easy. Or I shouldn't say
easy.
Well,
maybe if your wrestling coach quit selling the players' pills, they'd be doing better.
Hey, maybe we need those pills. Wait, can you look at the Gopher schedule? Tell me they're not going to at least get 8 wins, though.
Maybe we'll be doing a Gopher preview show the first week of August. Chris and I will go through each 12 of the Gopher games and give our keys to winning
three
and what
deep,
we expect. That would
be 2 deep. We're going 3 deep, dude. We're going 3 deep. Redshirt freshman. We're going all the way. We're going to break down the whole roster.
Be ready for our Gopher USC preview show.
Right now? Dude, Leitner is actually a first-round pick in some boards. I shit you not.
Oh, I know.
I swear,
that's scary, too.
I'm not kidding when I say that. It's ridiculous.
I talked to you about Rivers being overpaid as a Clipper. Talk about overhyped. Holy Lord. That dude's got some flaws. Join Chris and I for our Gopher USC preview, the start of August. We'll have many enticing hot takes to offer all of you. Again, thanks for all the support. We enjoy it. We love doing this show. I've been doing it now for almost 6 years. Enjoy your summer. Take care. Stay healthy. Peace.